Then he suffers a loss. And the guy says, ah, about God. Anyway, in everything I give thanks. God said, I told you. That was how Job started. Stop. Pull back. That guy has stepped into the path of Job. I don't need anything more. So everybody gets the test of adversity. And what God is saying, what will you say in response to your test? If you respond like Job, God looks at it that, yes, you have fulfilled all the sufferings of Job. Therefore, I will give you the blessings of Job. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, Job has become the demonstration of God's righteousness for this whole earth. That is, God can brag and say, look, I told you. I told you. Now, this man is like Job. This man is like Job. That's the way it is. Everybody passes through tests. Now, what tests do is that they show you really what is inside your heart. I told you last time, you really cannot know. It's when you don't know you are quick-tempered until you are tempered. You know what I'm trying to say? Somebody tempt you. It's true. And there was this, we're discussing with some friends. Only those telling me, they said, I don't sleep much. I said, how do you know? He said, I don't know. I sleep very, very lightly. I said, how do you know? I know. Now, don't I know myself? How can you know yourself when you are sleeping? He said, no, I know. I said, listen, the only person that can tell you sleep lightly are those who sleep with you, around you. There was one man, he used to say, when he comes to our house that time in Lagos, he used to stay in the room where I was staying. There's another young boy who used to share the room with us at that time. He said that boy opens the door anyhow and then wakes him up. And that he noticed I'm the only one that when I'm coming in, I open the door very gently and I close very gently. But do I know those times he still wakes up because he sleeps very lightly? I said, that is true, Opele. In my mind, you must be joking. You only know the times you wake up. If I enter that room 10 times and you don't wake up, you don't realize I enter 10 times. Do you understand the point I'm making? You know, people don't have to judge themselves. They say, I sleep very lightly. But there's one of my counselors used to say those days when we were doing house job. So we tell him that we think the patient has a mild depression. I said, how do you know? He said, Mama has not been sleeping. He'll say, who said so? He said, Mama has said, how will she know when she's sleeping? So we said, but the people in the house said she doesn't sleep. Say, how do they know when they are all asleep? I said, okay, that is true. And I was reading this book by Dale Carnegie on how to stop worrying and start living. It's a very nice, interesting book. If you read it, you will enjoy it. He said he has found out that a lot of people who worry, in fact, that a lot of people just like to just talk about how much they are suffering. He said there was one man who used to complain that he doesn't sleep. So one night he traveled and he shared the same room with another man. So this man, let's call him Brother A, who doesn't sleep, woke up in the morning and told the other guys that, man, I didn't sleep one wink last night. Now Brother B was in the same room with him, looked at him, didn't say anything. Why? The truth was that Brother B did not sleep at all. Why? Because Brother A was snoring so bad. But that was the man who said he doesn't know. What I'm going to say is that your heart, really, you don't know it until your heart is like a sponge, like they say, soaked with something. You really don't know what it is until somebody presses it. Do you follow me? And that is what God takes you through tests for. I said, one, there is a test of abundance. I said, there is also the test of adversity. But believe me sincerely, the easier one to bear is the test of adversity. I have testimonies of many men. Abraham Lincoln said it. So any fool can survive adversity. It takes a real man to survive prosperity. You know, Bill Gates said, you need as much mental work to give out money as to earn it. That to give out money is as hard as to acquire money. That to intelligently give out money. I'm telling you the truth. You understand my point? Dale Carnegie, that is one of other books, said, if you want to test a man, you test him with praise. Not to praise him. Let's see what will happen. And that's what God does. A lot of young men, I warn young people every day, especially when you have just left school and they start paying you salary. God is watching you. I am warning all of you. See, you boys are supposed to start earning like from next month. So you people, these people are starting to work on Wednesday. So all of you start earning salary. So look at them. Join them to the list of people you obtain, all right? Okay. No, really. That's when God starts watching people. I told you before, it's as a young man that God starts judging what you will be like as an old man. If you see what he said in Ecclesiastes, I think chapter 13, he said, follow the impulses of your heart. Is it 12 now? 12, sorry. He said, follow the impulses of your heart, but know for sure that God will bring everything to judgment, whether it is good or it is bad. Sorry, it's 12. There's no chapter 13 actually. If you read it from verse... chapter 11, verse 9. Talking about your youth period. That at that time, do what you like. But just know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Now, to summarize what I have said so far about that, I would just like to read one scripture from the New Living Translation because it's so beautiful there. That was concerning, what's his name now? Joseph. Because you know that Joseph was a man that had a promise like you all listening to me have over his head. If you have a promise over your head, why don't you just say an amen? All right, we've been teaching. If you've been following what we've been teaching, you know that there's a promise over your head. It said, verse 19. There was one book I wanted to bring to read. I left it at home. Oh, God, we'll still say the things that are inside. Psalm 105, I said. Did I tell you where? Okay, let me just read from verse 16. 105, verse 16. Just listen to me. Don't open your Bibles, please. Because I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Many of you may not have it. It's getting very popular these days anyway. I read from verse 16. It said, he called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off its food supply. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. There, in prison, they bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his word. The Lord tested Joseph's character. That's New Living Translation 105 Psalms, verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his word, the Lord tested Joseph's character. One thing I just want to say is that sometimes God gets tired of testing some people. Let me explain what I'm saying. A season comes in which God says, this guy has failed all the tests. It is too late. I can't do anything for him anymore. Now, we're not going to talk about that in details, but let me just let you know that there is a season for your test. There is a season for your instruction. There is a season for your testing. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? There is a season in which by words, by experiences, God is teaching you and you are planting roots into the ground. Then God brings a little bit of sun to burn on your leaves and see whether you will wither because of the sun that is shining. There is persecution for the word's sake. There are things you have been doing and you have been following along. And the word of God begins to challenge them as wrong practices. God will not continue to challenge them forever. They will give you a particular period of time, which is a season. What I mean is that there's a particular period of time physically which we have to accomplish a particular season in your life in which God will allow you to take the test. You fail the test, take it again and again. Until a point will come, he will say, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone. Listen, I think I was sharing it with us last time. God is very, very patient with people, but that patience is not inexhaustible. Do you understand the point I am making? If you read 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you will see that God sent prophets to the children of Israel again and again, and they rebuked the people, and some of the prophets the people killed. The Bible said that they scorned the word of God until there was no remedy. There is something I want you to understand concerning the dealing of God with people. God deals with people in generations. Let me explain. If you look around you, you find that most people listening to me are in the same age bracket. Just look around you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't, no, really. Maybe the oldest person here is me teaching. No, it's true. Do you follow my point? But if you want to even look at it, I still fall within the generation of the people listening. Do you understand? Because, you see, let me tell you what I'm trying to say, that God calls people by generations. What he does is that he starts giving his word to a particular generation. Like you were saying the other time, there was one man who was preaching at our church, and Kingsley said, it's as if he and I were saying the same thing. Yeah, he and I never discussed. Do you follow my point? You will leave here, go to somewhere far in Nigeria, somewhere else, you will still be hearing the same words. Why? Because it is the word for the season. It is the word for that generation. Do you understand my point? And then what God now does is this. Now, the reason why God does is because he wants to do something in that generation. In fact, I am particularly persuaded that in Nigeria of today, there is something strong God wants to do. If you remember, in the course of the teachings we've been having, we explained that, you see, God, when God wants to do something in the land, he gives seed to people who are on that land, and those people need to plant their seed even though the ground is dry. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, in that generation, God will continue to call people, but he will not release the thing upon anybody yet. John the Baptist preached, in my own estimate, for at least 10 years. I think it's more like 15 or maybe 20 years. How do I know? Don't forget that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm going to say? And he died about the time Jesus was starting full ministry. That was about the age of 30. Do you get my point? But the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And one thing he said is that John the Baptist did no mighty work. He didn't do miracles. It was just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He didn't heal any sick. He didn't do anything. He was just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he kept on crying, saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand." He said, "I have come preaching a baptism of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins." That's what he came preaching. Go and read Luke chapter 1. He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Let me bring it down to this generation. There are things that our fathers' generations did, and God said it is wrong for you people to continue therein. Listen, those who are continuing therein will see no adverse effect for now. That's what I'm talking about, the ministry of John. There are things that people did. If even us, you know, I was saying something, let me, I don't know whether I should let this go on tape. Okay, let it go on tape. I was telling my wife the other day, I said that my son won't have the opportunity to choose his own wife. He was like, I said, no. He has entered a generation in which he was born by faith. I prophesied of my wife even before he was conceived. Do you understand? There are dreams I dream, and my wife said, "You are the cause of this." I said, because I just knew that this was going to happen. That is, while you are inside your mother's womb, I'm already blessing you. I have surrounded you with the blessing of God. I say it all the time, even if I want to disobey God, I look at my wife, I look at the children that she's going to have, and the one she has already, and I can't. I'm too scared for their sake. Because there is a blessing that David collected from God, and his descendants were enjoying. For their sake, I have to obey God. Even if I die, it won't happen. Even if I die poor, though it will not happen. But if that's the cost of obeying God, for their sake, you will see the fruits in their lives. That's my children. I said, listen, it is not like that from where I came from. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? I teach my parents the word of God. If I go home, I teach them. Do you understand the point I'm making? It is different. Akinlu will not have the opportunity to instruct me on God's word. It's too late. It's too late for that. Just now, when I rushed home to go and get this other microphone, he saw me taking it. He was shouting, he was calling for it. He was shouting, "Amen, amen, amen." Boy is a year and 5 months. I'm serious. If you want to eat, time to eat. Let us. He will stretch his hand towards the food. He's used to it. In the morning, if he wants to get, let us pray. The guy just put his head down there, and whatever you are saying, say amen. He's a year and 5 months, or is he up to 6 months now? Yes, a year and 6 months old. Listen, now. Not just me, I have many friends like that. It is too late, he can't choose a wife. Do you understand my point? I'm the prophet in his life. Can't bring one strange woman from somewhere and come and tell me that and daddy, I'm in love. I'll slap your face. What kind of stupid love is that? I said, didn't you see Chuksi's daughter? Eh? Which kind of love are you loving? You get away from there. No, you say, when I say people laugh, I say, this kind of man is crazy. First time I heard it also, I thought the man was not well. Derek Prince was the first to say it. Derek Prince, he said divine order that parents pick spouses for their children. You know, I was a young man too, with fire in my blood, waiting to fall in love. How can you come and tell me that? Of course, I wouldn't accept. But I grew and I understood it. The first day I said it, my friend Mike, his wife was there. She laughed, said, "How come you and my husband talk in the same way?" That was exactly what her husband said. Listen, anyway, what I'm trying to say is that, look, generations differ. There are things that God accepts as righteousness in one generation, he does not accept as righteousness in another generation. When I went home and told my father I wanted to get married, he said, "It's about time." I said, "You won't ask me who." He said, "It doesn't matter." He said, "I prayed, I told God that whatever woman you say you want to marry will be the will of God. So I know you have chosen according to God's will." You understand what I'm trying to say? That was the way you understood faith. You understand my point? I'm not praying that kind of prayer for Akinlu at all. God, I will have to know his wife ahead of time. He can't choose. The right has been taken away from him. No, that's the principle. I'm not discussing the application. You know, some people won't say that, are you going to impose a wife on your son? No, no, I won't do that. All right, but we won't go into the details, all right? But that is the underlying principle. I'm just trying to use there in something about generations, all right? Generations change. As understanding grow, God pulls you up from one place. I told you before, I see traditional wedding, church wedding, is just for our parents' generation. I was telling somebody today, if my daughter is wedding, there is one ceremony that will happen in my sitting room. If you can't come there, go away. I won't hire a hall. Why? For what? I'm going to be a very rich man. I have a very big compound. But as a rule, my daughter's wedding must be in my house. It's a traditional wedding. What is my tradition? No, answer me. My tradition is this one I'm doing. The word of God. Period. I there will be no officiating priest. Not because I am a preacher. But because you can come there as an invited guest. If I have a friend who's a minister, I will give my daughter in marriage. You bring the gifts you brought for us. I collect it. I bless the two of you. Then you bless your wife. Two of you get away from my house. No, I register your wedding. No, it's true. But let me just go back to what I was saying about generations. So God calls generations. He keeps on giving them word. You know, he tells them what your fathers did is not the correct thing for your generation. I'm pulling you closer to the ideal. You keep on getting better. There is a new thing that I've introduced in your generation. The way politics is done in Nigeria will change. The way business is done in Nigeria will change. The way the law is upheld in Nigeria will change. But people will keep saying it. And keep saying it, but they won't see anything. Do you know why? Because God is waiting for many to repent. This is the principle behind it. The moment God starts, the door has closed on that generation. Let me explain what I'm saying. Anybody that has not believed the word, and by reason of believing the word, stepped into what God wants to do, will not enter. You see, that's what Jesus was saying. Look, it's not as if the person will die or anything. But no matter how hard he tries, I've been preaching and telling you great things that God... Look, there was something last time, you didn't catch it on tape. Something I said last time. That if you follow the word of God, you will be one of the greatest men that God ever planted on this earth in your generation. If you follow this word very strictly. Do you follow the point I'm making? God will do that thing. But before he breaks forth mightily upon a generation like that, he will close the door. Because, you see, when he was telling them, before the bridegroom comes, they will first enter, and before they start serving, once the bridegroom comes, they enter, close the door first, and those outside will start shouting, "Let us in." That's the way it works. So the men who didn't apply themselves to the word of God begin to look for connections with those who have applied themselves and God has planted. Then they start telling stories. That guy, they were my friends those days. And they start telling stories. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, it's a very dangerous thing. Hearing God's word is good, but it's dangerous. Once you hear it, you're judged. What I mean is that the only thing that pulls you out of judgment is obey it. Once you hear it, that word stands by itself as judgment over your life. I'm telling the truth. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's important we understand it. So the word of God comes to one generation after enough people have applied themselves to it. God unleashes that thing he wants to do. Releases it mightily. Suddenly, he said, have you heard? Fred is not here. Have you heard? Look at what this guy is doing. Have you heard? Publishing, they are big time boys. Petroleum, they are big time boys. Communication, they are big time boys. Ministry, they are big time boys. What's happening? Man, this guy is big now. Have you heard? The person just saying, have you heard, is describing what God is doing in everybody else's life. He's still managing a job. Look, for time's sake, we cannot say everything we need to say, but just bear this in mind. When God has tested you, two things you should do with God's, one major thing you should do with God's test, because you will know oftentimes when you fail it. Do you understand my point? What you do is to grab the word of God, and I mean, there's one thing John said in 1 John chapter 1. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. He said, but if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Sin does not mean moral failure alone. It means that I am far below where God wants me to be. Simple. So I go to God and declare to him, I know I should be somewhere better than where I am right now. Lead me to that place by yourself. Do you understand the point I am making? And then if you pray like that to God, what will happen is that he will now by himself begin to give you instructions again on his word to bring your heart to that right place. And listen, after everything has been done, God says, your due season has come. Let me tell you something about the due season as I close. Open to Mark chapter 4. Let me tell you something about due season. You don't force it. It manifests itself. Do you understand what I'm going to say? There was one man who was saying, he said, God, I'm due for my miracle. I told him in my heart, you can't judge that. Only God can decide when you are due for it. There was a film I watched long ago. If you've heard me preach a lot of times, you may have heard me refer to it. Let me just read this verse and I'll tell you about the film, the movie. Verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts up and grows. He said, how? He himself does not know. Verse 28. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Verse 29. When the crop permits, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. How does he know when the harvest has come? When the crop permits. The earth by itself, the man sowed the seed, but the earth by itself produces. But how will the man know that it is time to harvest? He will notice that certain things are beginning to happen to show to him that certain things have come to pass. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let me explain what I'm saying. Now, just a minute, I want to just check out something here. Now, what will happen is that where a man used to struggle before, things begin to fall easily. Let me explain practically what it means for crop to permit. It means for it to be ripe, ready. You go to a mango tree, maybe behind your house, and you want mango. You see the thing, there are plenty, but they are green. Maybe as a young boy, you try to bring them down. They are very high ahead. You beat them with long sticks. Have you noticed if they are not ripe, they don't fall? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? No matter how hard you beat them, you will break the fruit, it will not fall down. In fact, it has happened to us when we were young. You will take a stone and stone the fruit, it won't fall down. It will break, it will shatter up there, but it won't come away from the stalk. Why? It's not ready, it has not yet permitted. Anything you are struggling to achieve that's not working by itself has not yet permitted. Kingsley, remember I shared with you what I call the spirit of the publisher? Yes? When God pours it upon something that a man writes, he doesn't have to beg to buy my book. Why should you beg? Until that time, refrain from struggling. Anything you are running after that's running away from you, the time has not yet permitted. There's one experience I had in my life. There's one experience I've had in my life again and again that I've been using as examples. And I think God just arranged it so that I can use it to teach. I told you that as a young man, of course, one of the greatest, jewelry, adornment, that's the word I want, that a young man can have, is a four-legged animal. That's a car, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, you know, a young man won't eat, he won't drink, he won't sleep. Just give him a car, he's happy. He will sleep inside it, it doesn't matter. Doesn't have a house, it does not matter. So people struggle to get it. Unfortunately, I left school when, as a house officer, you earn 900 naira a month. Don't think it was a lot. You said those days it was a lot of money. Yes, except that I couldn't even buy a television. Get my point? A 12-inch black and white TV was more than 900 naira. And that was my month's salary as a house officer. You understand the point I'm making? And things kept on going like that for a very long time. Of course, things change here and there. But I kept on believing God, of course. But one thing I just knew, after I learned that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, I knew that if God doesn't give it to me, I don't want it. Bishop Oyedepo used to teach us then when we go for school of ministry and during breakthrough seminars, that what God does not give you, you don't need. Do you follow my point? If God will not give you something, you don't need it. I remember one day, one lady visited me and I just moved to one apartment, we were just talking. So I was just making a joke. I said, it would be nice to have an air conditioner here, but that Bishop Oyedepo said that I don't need an air conditioner. All I need is big open windows. And he used to say, really? And she said, but that's all Bishop said. What do you say? I said, don't teach me rebellion. Bishop said, I don't need an air conditioner. Carry your rebellion and pass away from my door. Why didn't you buy an AC? It's money. They didn't give it free. I didn't have the money. Do you understand the point I am making? So people say, why don't you have a car? I said, because it kills people. So I told her, I don't have a car. You must be stupid. I don't have a car because I don't have money. What is it? Why don't you have a car? What they are saying is that, why don't you struggle like everybody else and acquire one? I said, no, I won't. Because there's what the Bible calls the crop permitting. When the season comes, you don't have to try. The first car I had was a gift. Just to complete my testimony. But God is my witness, I have never saved since that day to buy a car. People save to buy cars. It doesn't happen. My wife, ask her. It hasn't happened. That's okay, let's be putting, okay, how much this month? 10,000. Okay, next month we'll have 50,000. Hey, no, this money is coming, we'll have 15,000. It has never happened. I have never sold a car to buy another. This car I drive now, this 300E. The other car we had before was parked in my house for months. How long did Mike keep that car? He said he wanted to buy it. I had to be starting the car so that the battery doesn't die. I bought the other one I wanted. Didn't save a dime. No saving. Do you get my point? And I just know by God, it will never happen in this life again that I will save up money to buy a car. Never. Ever. It has not happened. It won't start now. Do you get the point I'm making? Why? When the crop permits. There was a time if you want to buy a conditioner, you go to the second hand shop. I will save money to buy AC. What is wrong with new climb ceiling fan? What I do with an air conditioner if you can't afford it? But if I decide today that it is cold air I want to be eating, I'll go to Albertina and buy all the ACs I need to fill my house. When the crop what? Permits. Do you get the point I'm making? Well, looking at suits the other day, I told somebody I can't wear this kind of suit. Say why? I said the reason being that I don't believe in buying one good thing. You know what I mean? What I'm trying to say? You have a particular kind of suits, then you now have one that is very good. So when you wear it, you say, Mr. Fine suit has come. Just one suit he has. I said, when I enter that level, I enter that level. That is, all my suits are like that. When the crop permits. That's what God is saying. You have to learn to observe seasons. Listen, seasons, you don't dictate them really. You cooperate with them. I like what the Miles Monroe said. When it is cold, you change your clothing. When it's hot, you change again. You don't say, I want it to be cold, so I will wear heavy winter jackets. Snow won't fall in Nigeria. No matter how much winter jacket you wear, snow will not fall here. Do you understand what I want to say? If you have not reached a place, you have not reached there. My friend Igboko used to say, prosperity is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. Do you get the point I'm making? One day I was talking in church. I just said in passing, I said, if you can't buy brand new cars and you are not using your car for business, sell it. You don't need that car. Sorry, if you can't buy brand new tires, and the car is not, you're not using it for business, not any money for you, just one of these mobility that we all use. I said, sell it. You shouldn't be driving a car. And that pointed to one brother. I said, don't you agree? The brother told me later that was embarrassment because he was buying used tires. But when after I said, he said, that is true. And he stopped. He didn't even realize how cheap new tires were until I preached that message. When the crop permits, you have to know what season your life has entered. At that point, you put your hand to sell yam itself because God has blessed your selling of yam. There are people who enter all kinds of businesses because they are looking for money. The crop has not permitted, so they keep failing. When your season comes, you don't need anybody to describe it for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It has just come. That's the way seasons are. You will know it has come. Somebody told me once, you should be building a house. I said, me? I said, I would like to own a house, but I've checked the current flow in this season. In Enugu, it doesn't build a house. I said, if you could buy land 2 square meters per month, maybe I'll try. But you have to buy the land, Boza. You know what I'm going to say? If it's 1,000 square meters, you buy it at a go. I said, I have checked it. Without laboring my head, which God taught me not to do long ago, I can't do it now. Some people will be listening to this tape at the time when I will be able to buy 10,000 square meters without breathing. That is, I will hold my breath, that if they don't draw that money out of that account, I won't release the breath. And yet, I will not faint, because the money is so much, the manager will be running up and down. The organ must not collapse. It's season. No, that's the fact. That's one thing I know for sure. I love Bishop Oyedepo's testimony. He said he doesn't build a house in more than a year. He starts in January, must be complete before December. Are you carrying block today? Say, just let me move 10 blocks. We'll just keep on there. No. About God and I have a covenant. It will never happen. Behold, he said, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, if God loves your heart, he will build you a literal house. He will build you a business. He will build you an empire. That is, your emphasis must be on what is my heart's relationship with God, not looking for money. I always tell people, I just that's why I want to go and do this seminar in Benin. And you boys, you're leaving school. You don't have to impress anybody. The girl that will not marry you because you don't have a car, may she remain on her own. No, it's true. I'm telling you the honest truth. You don't, in fact, you know, I used to preach this message jokingly. I didn't know that. Until one brother sent me an email once that he was planning to marry one. He didn't have anything and he was feeling very bad. Then he came for one of our conventions and I just said it in passing like this. He gathered boldness and did what a young man should do. You know what I'm going to say? And that's it. Because he realized indeed, if you're not going to marry me like this, forget it. You know, it's true. I tell young women, I used to tell them those days, it's too late now. It doesn't apply anymore. I used to tell them, listen, you know, I'm a very, very eligible young man. This guy talking, I was as poor as you saw them come. You know what I'm going to say? But at least somebody married me like that. So what is it? So I wasn't lying. She married me like that. But you know the interesting thing? I believe it was a spiritual timing. Within 12 months, my income literally jumped at about 5 times. Oh yeah, about 16 months, yes. Literally, I mean, figure for figure. I can show it to you, calculate it for you. Literally. I got married December 99. Now I earn almost... Now, get my point. Currently, my wife doesn't have a salary job. You understand my point? Okay? And the little business I'm doing recently, I've not seen 5 cover from the money. She's been keeping everything. So I want to say this, really. Despite that, that's less than 5 years ago, right? If you count it naira for naira, I earn close to 10 times what I was earning then. I'm being honest with you. Close to 10 times. You know the interesting thing? I have not yet begun. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still a poor man. Get my point. Very poor. Honestly. I'm not lying to you. I know what I'm saying. But I want you to know that God will break forth upon you with great abundance. You will be a blessing to your community, not a liability. You're not looking for where it is happening. You will make it to happen anywhere you go. Listen, it will come to pass that men will be privileged to know you. I know what I'm saying. I'm telling you that God will build a house for you. A house that your children's children will be glad that you are their grandfather, you are their grandmother. It's not by effort. I know long ago, Bible said, labor to enter into his rest. Because the one that has entered into his rest has ceased from all his works. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is what we have taught, talking about spiritual economics. Whether the devil likes it or not, we are going higher. Do you understand my point? No thief can stop us. Do you understand what I'm going to say? No, we are too blessed. Like Donald Luce Jr., you say, we are too blessed to be cursed. It's too late. Do you understand what I'm going to say? I think it was, I forgot this man's name. I think I quoted for the last time. They burnt, it was a fire incident that burnt his factory. His laboratory that was those days, over 100 years ago, was worth about $2 million. I think it was Thomas Edison. And he looked and said, all our mistakes of the past have been burnt away. Now we can start anew on a clean slate. The man founded General Electric, which is one of the top 5 companies in the world till today. General Electric. GE, General Electric. He founded General Electric. I've told that when God blesses you, your children's children will still be there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I read the story of Rockefellers. Rockefeller one, for the one first one, didn't call himself one. It is two that became two, three. They are just going on like that. As soon as you are born, you are an instant millionaire, and the devil cannot even stop it in their lives. Isn't that interesting? God will do greater things in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, give me another amen.
Amen.
And rise to your feet, let us pray.